What an incredible morning. Just stay standing for a minute. You know, we just had, thank you, team, we just had the most incredible visitation of the Holy Spirit during that worship. And you know, we could move on. And I'm going to talk about being determined, about being passionate this morning. And we can move on. Or we can just take a minute. Just a minute. We're always rushing in life. We tell our children, hurry, hurry, hurry. And they look at us with that look on their face. Like, late, hurry. Because they're enjoying the journey. And so often as adults, we forget to enjoy the journey. And God wants us. And I felt that this morning as I stood there, I felt Jesus come and stand right in front of me. And put his hand on my shoulder. And he loves each one of you like that. And you're here this morning because you are passionate and you love him, and you haven't gone away. You've put him first. So I think I'm preaching to the converted, because you're awesome. And he loves you. And I just as they're playing, we're not going to sing, but as they're praying, why don't you just shut your eyes? And you're all carrying busyness. You've all got things that you need. You've been through things and you're carrying it. And I really believe Jesus says, you know, drop it off. Choose to drop it off. It's like he's coming along and saying, I want it. Give it to me. Give me that sack you're carrying over your shoulder and let me take it and just enjoy me. And as you give it to him, you'll feel that weight lift off, because he's going to sort it out. He is actually sorting it out now. So just shut your eyes. God, we just thank you that you are the awesome God that died on a cross, defeated death, took the whole world's sin. You lifted it off each one of us. And God, we so just want to pick it up and carry it again. But this morning we just choose to drop it off once again and let you take it. To live free. And we know, God, that you will sort it out, whether it's health issues, money problems, emotional problems, sicknesses, diseases. God, you're already sorting it out. You've already done it. You've defeated it on the cross. And you're just reminding us this morning to hand it back and to live free of all condemnation, negative words, lies of the enemy. We drop it off. We drop off anger and pain. We drop off unforgiveness. We choose to forgive. We choose to be healthy. We choose to be free. And we choose to love like you loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A song just come into my head and it goes, oh, how he loves you and I, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. You know, there's nothing more that can be done. He gave his life because he loves you and me. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just go and give somebody a hug? Maybe somebody you don't know, somebody you don't mix with or talk to normally. It's great to see the Vitalis and Adam Vitali in church. Okay. It's awesome. I'll just read you our verse for today. It's from 1 Corinthians 2:2, and it says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the gospel. And at the beginning of the year, God said salvation. Salvation, and even this morning, He said people are going to have a visitation of the Holy Spirit, and salvation is going to come to them. And so if we don't go out and tell people about Jesus, and people can't read from our lives who we serve, He's just going to send the Holy Spirit out there, and people are going to have these amazing visitations, and they're going to flock into church. And we need to be ready, church. And I think the best thing you can do is pick up your Bible and turn to the New Testament, to the Gospels, and start reading about the life of Jesus and how He wants us to live. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning, because I think you're only passionate if you read His Word. And that's not your phone. I know you all have a Bible. And you know, it's when you pick this up and you start reading it out that things start to change in your life. You can listen to people all around the world. And it was really amazing to go to Open Heaven on Friday night. Oh, you guys can go and sit down. Honestly, you've just been so awesome. I know you make me look good and sound good. Give them a clap. Aren't they just awesome? You know, these guys serve, and I know just Brenton himself, you know, he's studying, he's working full time, you know, and he's still got time to give God his life. And, you know, he will be a success. He will be a great success because he centered the one who gives life in the middle of his life. And if you're struggling, any of you, I'm just wanting to encourage you, put Jesus in the middle of your life. Give him the time and your life will be a success. Amen? And this word is so powerful. And we went to Open Heaven, and everybody's away on holiday, but I did notice every leader of the churches throughout Auckland, the main churches, were there. And they were so passionate about what God's going to do this year. And at the same theme as we were talking, they come up and say, "What is God saying to you?" And then we'd tell them, and they'd say, "That's exactly what God's telling us. That's salvation. God's going to move in this year. And he wants to use each one of you, and we need to be passionate. And they said the people in their churches are picking up their Bible like they've never done before. Isn't that so exciting that we hear all these laws that governments make? And they change with every government, just about. Each party gets in. But the Word of God never changes. It's consistent and it's powerful. And you know, in New York, they've brought through a law that you can abort a baby right up to the day before it's born. Those sort of laws will take a country down, killing our legacy, our children. We never let that happen in this country because it's shocking. A baby is always worth a lot, you know. Doesn't matter how they're born, how they're conceived or whatever. God values them and loves them. And, you know, if you get a chance to love on a child that's not being loved, do it. It's the greatest thing you can do, I think, in the kingdom of God. Okay. Fostering is a good thing. So I've been asking myself some questions. And these are, well, three questions that I've asked myself. And you think, oh, well, you're the pastor. You know, like, I'm not Jesus. I battle the same things you battle with. I have the same thoughts that run through my head. And I have to make the same decisions that you have to make every day. And I'm possibly just one step ahead of you. But it's how determined am I to outlive this gospel? To outlive this gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that I can't do it without reading this, because sometimes I get lazy and I don't. And I find that day I'm not a nice person, or not as nice as I think I should be. How determined am I to live out his destiny, not what I want? It's a challenge, isn't it? How determined am I to let him demonstrate his power and love through my life? That is one of the biggest things that he wants to do in your life. He actually doesn't want you to open your mouth. He actually wants to demonstrate his power and his love through your life. Those three things, if you just sit down and contemplate them. Ephesians 4:20 tells us to put off the old self and put on the new one. And it's something that we have to continually think about. Not to get mad, but to love unconditionally. Do we only love when we think somebody deserves it? Are we only kind and generous to somebody that we think deserves it? I had some little boys next door throw some mess all over my front doorstep, you know, and I was angry about it, but I had a choice whether I'd go over and rip them apart or if I'd be generous. And the best thing I thought was go and take them a big bag of lollies. I could tell by the look on their faces, they knew we don't deserve this. You see, by doing a generous thing, sometimes it has a bigger effect. Loving when it's not deserved. So many times we have to think, what do I want or what does he want? And how do I outlive that? And, you know, the word says that we're to love God and love others as we love ourselves. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's actually too simple for the world. We're always wanting something intellectual that we can only learn at university and with lots of very complicated words, and that has true meaning. But what is more powerful, to love somebody when they don't deserve it? To be kind to somebody when they do not deserve it? Christ on the cross forgave us because of our ignorance. Paul in a Roman jail, he'd been whipped and broken. When you think what people did to that man, and his last words, if you haven't seen the movie The Apostle Paul, it's so powerful because he says, did you show them love? Whatever you did it show that you loved them? Could you love somebody who'd whipped your body, broken your body, poured oil on you, hot oil, done all those things? And out of his mouth came, did you love them? Yesterday I was watching a movie on Eric Liddell, and it's called On Wings of Eagles. And I think the one before was Chariots of Fire. Yeah, well, this is the carry on from it. And Eric Liddell was born in China to missionary parents. And in the 1924 Olympics in Paris, he won a gold medal in running. He was Scottish. That might have helped him. But at the end of the Olympics, everybody was offering him sponsorship and money and a great life. But what he chose was to go back to China as a missionary and teach. And at the beginning of the war, when Japan invaded China, he chose to stay. In fact, when he was incarcerated, he was offered freedom and he wouldn't take it because he wanted to stay and offer the people in that prison hope, the hope of Jesus. And he actually died of a brain tumor. But it was quite amazing to watch this man love his enemies and be kind to his enemies. And he worked with the Chinese underground, and of course they would get some fruit and veggies in. But he always shared them with the Japanese. You see, and it changed not only the prisoners' lives, but it actually changed the men who had imprisoned him. And I thought, how powerful is that? And you would see him with his Bible open, reading his Bible and praying. And what was so amazing was the Chinese have those, they're like kites, but they're always decorated in the shape of animals and birds and things like that. And whenever Eric was going through something, this beautiful red eagle would float over the prison camp. And it just reminded him to rise up on wings of eagles. That we can, if we keep our eyes on Christ, fly over. And if you're going through a sickness or an ailment at the moment, this is only for a moment. But if you look up, you can rise up on wings of eagles and you can float over that situation, because that sickness or that illness does not define who you are. If you're going through financial problems and it's not, you can rise up because God says you are rich, you are blessed, you are loved. And it's so good. God is such a good, good God. What is it about these people who can love lavishly? And a couple of weeks ago, Don and I had the privilege to go out to dinner with an 80-year-old woman. And she actually just reminded me of Don's mother. She had a little grey-haired old granny, 80 years old, with this beautiful grin on her face. And she's had a stroke and she's got a bit of a limp. But everything that came out of her mouth was so gracious. And it was such a privilege because Don dropped us off and he went to park the car and I had to help her across the road. So I had to hold her under her arm and help her across. And it actually brought tears to my eyes because I thought, oh, this reminds me of Grandma. You know, what a privilege to do something for the older generation. I just encourage you, if you see an old person struggling, if you reach out and help them, what a blessing to help them across, just to help her across the street. And she kept saying, it's all right, dear, because you know what they're like. I'll probably be like this, independent. I can do it by myself. But at any rate, she started talking about her life, and she's so excited because she's going home. She is a Kiwi, but she's going home. And over 50 years ago, she and her husband went to Bogota, Colombia, one of the most volatile, violent places on this earth. And she has served as a missionary over there. Her husband died 20-something years ago. And this little old granny, still serving the Lord so passionately. And when she talks, and girls, and she talked to me about her husband and what they did. But as she talked to me, she said to me, I so miss my beloved. And I thought, it's an old-fashioned word, but it has so much power. What a beautiful thing. Like, I thought, that man was so lucky to have this woman as his wife. And she was going on how wonderful this man was. And I was thinking in my head, what a lucky man you were to have this woman as your wife, as she talked about how much she missed her beloved. But then she went on and talked and she says, I can't wait to go back to my Colombia. And it's in her heart. And I thought, here she is, an 80-year-old woman that shuffles along, and she can't wait to go back to love on people, lavish God's love on people that could possibly kill her. She has to drive around in an armored car. That's how unsafe it is over there. But she's willing to go back and to lay down her life for this nation. And I thought to myself, Julia, you haven't lived because you're not willing to die for something yet. Like, I love God, I serve God, but I'm not going into a place where I could die to share God's love yet. I haven't got my place in my heart in that place yet. And this is what challenges me. What are you laying your life down for? Is it for $1 million in the bank? Is it for a new car next year? Is it a house? Because we spent last year doing up our house because it needed it, but at the end of it, I thought, if I lived for this house, what a waste. There's nothing there, it's just a house. I could move all my furniture into another place and I could make it a home. And then I could move to a smaller place and I can make it a home. It's just a shell. It's what we carry inside of us that makes it a home. What makes family makes life. And what are you willing to die for? See, she wants to take the love and the power of the gospel to these people. She's hungry to see God change a nation, an 80-year-old little granny. She is hungry and passionate about seeing the demonstration of the Word of God in people's lives. Do you have that for the people where you work? You know, what is your mission field? I can't tell you what that is, people. That's something that you have to talk to God about. It's something that you have to figure out inside of you. You see, on Friday night, we went to the prayer meeting, and John and Sharon were really nice. They took Don up, and he got on a yacht at Whangaparoa, and he sailed out to Great Barrier and wherever else he went. And I said to him, and he said, I'll come back. And I said, no, I'll preach. You go. And at midnight last night, he drove all the way back. And then he's going to drive all the way back this afternoon. See, if you're passionate about something, the drive back or what that, the tiring thing is not a problem. See, Brenton's studying and he's working, but what he's passionate about, he'll come and do on a Sunday morning because this is what he loves. And you can hear it in his voice. When he's, and Amy, she made herself vulnerable for you this morning, church. She shared her heart and she broke. You know, that's beautiful. That's not weakness. That's strength. The other day I was out with a young girl. She's been at uni for a couple of years. And we're out with a number of people, actually. And she was speaking and she was spouting out all her knowledge. You know, she's been at uni 2 years. She's not quite 21. She's 20. She knows it all. That this church and God is irrelevant now. She doesn't need it in her life anymore. And I sat there and I listened to her and she went on, and then I just smiled at her, and she came over to me after. She says, why did you smile at me? And I says, while you were talking, God just said to me how much he loves you. He loves you so much. And then she looked at me and she says, well, what did you think about what I said? I said, well, I'll ask you a question. What do you think about what you said? That's more important. She said to me, I didn't believe half of what I said. I knew she was just trying to wind me up. But, you know, maybe several years ago, I probably might have got into an argument with her about some of the issues, but you know, they're only issues. She needed to hear that God still loved her. As she's on her journey of learning where to fit God in her life. And really, she didn't hate God. She's just on her journey. She needed to put off the old man and put on the new one. If you'd like to turn to Luke, keep an eye on that clock. To Luke 15, I love this, and I've been going through the Gospels and how they all fit together. And if you'd like to turn to Luke 15:4, it says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And this is a story about how God feels about us. He has no favorites. He doesn't love some and hate others. He loves the entire world We are all his children. You see, we have this perception, church, that because we sit in this building and in this church, we are his children, and those people outside there aren't. They are his children, and he loves them deeply. The parable reminds us that our Saviour dined with sinners. He is the good shepherd who braves hardship and danger to find the lost sheep, which was me. So out of the response of the gracious love of Christ, he came for me, a lost sheep. Do you remember what you were like as a lost sheep? I need to remember what I was before he picked me up. Nothing is more valuable than a sheep in the eyes of the shepherd. Wherever you are on your journey, maybe you're just visiting today and you haven't made that commitment to Christ. Maybe you're on that way, on that journey. Maybe you're struggling wherever you are. But to the shepherd, you are the most valuable thing. God gives us eyes and a heart. Pray that God gives us the eyes and the heart of a shepherd for the lost sheep. I think that's a really important thing this year. An important prayer to pray, that he will give us the eyes and the heart of the shepherd for the lost sheep. And in verse 5 it says, when the sheep was found weak and unable to return to the flock, you can imagine this vulnerable little sheep, this lamb or sheep there, maybe it's stuck in a bog, maybe it's got predators around it, maybe it's hurt, maybe it's just disorientated, maybe it's just lost. And it can't get back to the flock under its own power. It is at the mercy of the elements. You know, at the mercy of the elements is life. Life happens to us all. Sorry, I'm spitting. But it says then that the shepherd picks it up and he doesn't drag it along. He doesn't tell it off. Can you remember us having children? And they've gone off and done something, and this actually spoke to me very clearly. When your children don't do as they say, and you get them and you grab them by the hand and you're dragging them back and you're just giving them a good telling off. You know what I told you to do, blah, 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 you know. None of you have done that, have you? No. But it says the shepherd just goes over to it and picks it up and puts it on his shoulders. Jesus has shoulders that are strong enough to carry us home. Our Jesus is loving and gentle, but never forget his strength. He is the lamb of sacrifice. He is the lamb who conquers the power of sin and death. Every knee shall bow to him. He is mighty in battle and mighty to save. His shoulders are strong enough to carry the weight of the sins of the world. He can carry us all home. He was persistent to find you and carry you to safety. He's strong and mighty. Do you get the words in here? That you go, the shepherd went. He went to find. And then he carried it home. Bring. Go, bring. And then what happened when he got home? Did he send the sheep to his room and say, well, you're not getting anything to eat for a year and I'm going to come in with a stick and give you a good smack and blah, blah, blah. It says no. It said they celebrated. He brings us home. He doesn't judge or scold or punish the sheep for his carelessness and rebelliousness that we do deserve. But he throws a party and rejoices. It says, heaven breaks out in a joyful, spontaneous celebration that the lost has been found. Go, bring, celebrate. And those are the three things we're going to do this year. We're going to go. We're going to bring people in. We're not going to tell them to get here by themselves. It says, bring, even if you have to carry them. And then we're going to celebrate, because they are the most valuable things on this planet, each one of us. Every life has total value to our God. So we need to think, who are the lost sheep in our life? What steps do I choose to bring? Do I need to make to bring them to Christ this year? How can I demonstrate? This is a good one. How can I demonstrate the love of Christ to the people in my life, those people around us, to give them hope? More people to Christ this year. I'm going to bring more people to Christ this year, even if I have to carry them. Because you see, you're strong enough. Because if you've put off the old and put on the new. And what's so exciting, that this year, it's not going to be hard and it's not going to be drab and it's not going to be hard, because then we get to celebrate. And this year in church, we're going to have more celebrations. Is that good? But you've got to go and you've got to bring. Because we want to celebrate every new person that comes into this place this year, like they're worth $1 million, because they're probably worth 10 million to God. They're invaluable. Don't look at where they're at and what they're doing. Like that girl, really, she didn't believe half. She just heard this stuff and she was just talking it out. But it wasn't until, I don't have to live her life. I don't really care what comes out of her mouth to a certain degree. But what comes out of her mouth creates her world. So it's more important to her. So throwing it back on her was like, well, what do you think? More importantly, she needed to know that where she is now, God still loves her. And he still smiles over her. And we need to have this heart, church, for people out there of no judgment, because God loves them. And we need to bring them. And we need to demonstrate his love to them. Find something that you can do for people. Sometimes it's just little things that'll make them feel so valuable. God, I just thank you this morning for your love that you have just let flow over us like warm milk. God, it's just so beautiful. Can I have the team, please? Sorry. God, give us a heart. Give us a heart to love your word. Give us a heart to love like you love. Give us a heart to spread kindness and to reach out. Give us a heart to bring. God, I just speak blessing over these people, that they know that you are with them every minute of the day. That God, you have hope for a great life for them. That their life is not determined by the circumstances that are around them now. Because God, you can shift things so quickly. And I really believe that God's just even now moving some things in your life. And over the next few weeks, you will see a radical shift in some things that you have been battling with over the last year. And things are going to start to fall into place. Before that happens, God's looking for faith. And God says, do you believe that I am able? That I am the God? The God that can move mountains and bring hope. Thank you, Lord.